We have been roaming through the book of Romans, and we're coming towards the end. But if you would turn now, please, to chapter 14, Romans chapter 14. And we're going to read that chapter as we hear the word of God together once again. Romans chapter 14, from verse 1 through to verse 2 of chapter 15. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead, living and the dead. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine, or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. We who are strong ought to bear with the feelings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. So, just for a moment, if you will, use your God-given powers of imagination. You are a member of the church in Rome. The year is AD 65. And the United Evangelical Fellowship of Rome is made up of a wonderful mixture of Jews and Gentiles. You as a Gentile follower of Jesus have no background at all of special and sacred diets and days in the Jewish calendar. You never had any rules and regulations governing what you eat and drink, and of special days and festivals. The only festivals you ever knew were thoroughly pagan. Meanwhile, the Jewish members of the congregation have 15 centuries of religious tradition, laws governing diet and days, handed down from Moses, who got them from God himself. Now you're all together at the annual church picnic. The Jewish members of the fellowship are still very sensitive about what is kosher and what is not. They're still trying to work their way through the differences between the old covenant of law and the new covenant of grace, especially when it comes to issues like Sabbath observance and foods forbidden in the law of holiness in Leviticus. And you unpack your picnic basket, pop your pork baggers and chops onto the braai, and start eating some crispy bacon snacks for starters. And the aroma fills all the Jewish nostrils around you. This creates a difficulty. Whilst you are gloriously free in Christ, you do not have the freedom to be insensitive to the struggles of those who are not there yet, whose culture and traditions are different. You can see how easily the strong sentimental attachment of some Jewish believers in your congregation to food laws and calendar could cause a serious division in the church. The catering committee planning the church-wide dinner with some non-kosher foods, they need to be sensitive. The missions committee planning an outreach to Spain during Passover and Tabernacles. These are real challenges for your Jewish members to work through. It would be tragic if the fairly traditional Jewish believers looked down on, or even worse still, separated themselves from their Gentile brothers and sisters. And it would be equally sad if the Gentile believers had an arrogant attitude toward their Jewish brothers and sisters, and perhaps even called them a bunch of legalists. Though Jesus pronounced all foods clean, Matthew 7:19, and declared himself to be Lord of the Sabbath, these sensitive Jewish believers needed time to reach a point where they were fully convinced in their own minds as to special diets and special days. Issues like circumcision and food, meat that had been offered to idols in a pagan temple and then sold in the marketplace, these were issues that they still, many of them, had to work through. And when all is said and done, Christians on both sides of these kind of divides will still have differing convictions over what the Apostle Paul considers non-essential or disputable matters. When the Apostle uses the term weak and strong regarding the brothers and sisters in your congregation in Rome, he's not referring to weakness or strength of character. He is referring to conviction, to firmness of belief. Those described by the Apostle as strong in faith saw the Sabbath and holy days and festivals of the Old Covenant all as prophetic signs that were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Same with the dietary laws imposed on Israel. Those described as weaker brothers and sisters hadn't all arrived at those conclusions and convictions yet. All the more reason why they should be handled with sensitivity, grace, and understanding. in the context of the time where the church was still in its infancy, this was a very big deal. The respectful acceptance and compassion to be shown by Gentile and Jewish believers was not only crucial to the unity of the congregation in Rome, it was also crucial to the advance of the gospel to the world. It meant the difference between success and failure in Paul's great vision to unite Jew and Gentile believers in the one body in Christ under the lordship of Jesus. The issues of days, diets, and differences were not crucial issues in doctrine or practice. They were not essential issues in the Christian life, but neither were they trivial issues. They were the issues that could create frictions and factions, insiders and outsiders, causing doubt and division and distraction and even destruction. They had the potential to offend the conscience and disrupt the good and godly relationships in this congregation of Jewish and Gentile believers. Acceptance of one another is crucial in the body of Christ. Without that, we're not at heart a true congregation. The word acceptance that Paul uses here in Romans 14:1 is a Greek word denoting warm friendship. Now some of you are already saying, what in the world has all of that got to do with us here in the 21st century in Cape Town? Well, if you've been around for a while, you will know that everywhere you go in the world, Christians have different convictions about certain things. Here's a short list, just to jog your memory. Things like cosmetics, tattoos, expensive jewelry, dress, dancing, music, card play, fashion, sports, money, alcohol, tobacco, diet. Why, we can even quibble about denominations and worship styles and Bible translations, given the chance. So to get back to Romans chapter 14, what do you do with a brother who sees things differently? Things that are disputable, debatable, things that are non-essential in the Christian life. Paul says we are to warmly accept and welcome those of differing opinions on non-essentials. And the apostle gives us in chapter 14 a list of reasons why. And let me run you through them. First of all, because God himself has welcomed these brothers and sisters into his eternal family, verses 2 and 3. Second, because the Christ who has redeemed them is their master and their Lord for all time and for eternity, and he is also your master and your Lord, and before him and him alone you stand or fall. Thirdly, because he or she is your brother, your sister, verse 10a. You're stuck with them forever, and so now is the time to learn to get along with them. Four, because we'll all stand before God's judgment seat, verses 10 to 13. We're not to be judges of one another on disputable matters. And five, because the kingdom of God is more than diet and days. It is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, verses 14 to 17. And six, because we are here to build each other up, not bash each other down, verse 19. Don't knock down what Christ is busy building, his church, that is the apple of his eye. Therefore, the strong are to help the weak and not cause them distress. They're to stop passing judgment on one another and leave that to God. They're not to speak ill of one another when they see things differently. They're not to put a stumbling block in the way of other Christians in their progress in the Lord. They're to allow freedom of conscience without condemnation. And they're to keep their convictions about their diet and their diary to themselves. And don't foist them on their brothers and sisters. Verse 22. Why? Because, listen carefully, because fellowship in Christ and with one another is far more important than conformity when it comes to non-essentials in the Christian life. Guard against a judgmental spirit that is ungodly and destructive. The bottom line here in Romans chapter 14, where necessary, as Christians, we are to restrict our freedoms for the sake of fellowship. Verse 21. Follow Jesus' example. Bear with the weaker brother who is not where you are yet, and build up the faith of the weaker brother. Don't ever pressurize a fellow Christian to go against his conscience. If what he does or doesn't do is unto the Lord and his honor, commend him. What he believes subjectively in his heart is more important than what I think I know objectively in my own mind. Embrace and celebrate diversity of opinion on peripheral issues, and give your time and energy to spreading the gospel of God's redeeming grace to a lost and dying world. Christ alone is King around here. He has welcomed us all under his lordship, and there we are to welcome one another, warts and all, just as he has welcomed us. And we are to show the same grace that we ourselves have received from the Lord Jesus. Paul's message is loud and clear. Live as citizens of the kingdom of God. Those who are enjoying new life in the Holy Spirit under the reign of King Jesus. Pursuing what brings mutual blessing. And don't sweat the small stuff. What the reformers called matters of indifference. Beloved, the church is not a debating chamber or a law court, so don't make it one. The wedding ring doesn't make a marriage. Mine cost R8. What makes a marriage is unselfish, wholehearted commitment to each other under the lordship of Jesus. And so it is with Christ and his church. It is not the signs and the symbols that matter all that much. It is the reality of fellowship with Jesus and with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And moving on together in the love of Christ to maturity. Paul is not here encouraging mindless behavior. He is simply saying to us all, examine your religious traditions and convictions carefully so that you don't major on minors or make mountains out of molehills. There is nothing in the Christian faith that should separate Jews and Gentiles and people of every tribe and tongue and nation under heaven. Being in the same congregation, for there is only one body in Christ. And it is made up of all those who have repented of their sin and placed their trust in the Lord Jesus, without whom there is no salvation for anyone. So unity in essentials, liberty in charity, in non-essentials is the Christian way to go. We must learn to accommodate one another whilst not compromising our own convictions. Unity doesn't always mean uniformity. But don't go and flaunt that principle by eating your bacon sandwich outside the synagogue. In your exercise of Christian liberty, be responsible and charitable. Let me clarify an important point here. We're not talking here about sinful behavior that needs to be corrected. We're talking about peripheral issues in the Christian faith that we are to accommodate with grace. Differences of opinion regarding side issues in the Christian life. So let's close with a brief summary of Paul's teaching here in Romans chapter 14. How do you handle the non-essentials of the Christian life? What do we do when fellow believers see things differently? Number one, welcome with open arms. Accept warmly as Christ has accepted you, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Number two, don't judge, condemn, pressure, or distress other believers just because they have some convictions or scruples that are different to yours. Number three, always think, speak, and act in the light of the coming judgment of God. Before Him and Him alone, we all stand or fall, ultimately. Number four, do and say nothing that would put a stumbling block in the way of anyone else. And number five, beware of making big issues out of peripheral issues. Making mountains out of molehills. Don't sweat the small stuff. Number six, always check your motive and attitude at the door or before you open the door of your mouth. Number seven, maintain a clear conscience before God and do not violate the conscience of a weaker brother or sister who doesn't see things the way you do. Number eight, always keep in mind that the Lordship of Christ in the church is not a matter of special days and diets. It's not a matter of eating and drinking or rules and regulations. Life in the kingdom of God under the Lordship of Christ is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so, glance now at your Bible in Romans chapter 15, and let's bring this to a close as we take a look at these wonderful verses in Romans chapter 15 and verses 5 and 6 and then verse 13. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. And verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Father, what an amazing blessing, this gracious story of redemption that unites both Jewish and Gentile believers together in one body, in one church, in one spirit, with one heart to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the lessons of your word. Thank you for the principles given to us so clearly in Scripture that we can apply to our own lives day by day. We thank you for bringing us together in this church family, and we pray for every other congregation in the valley, in the nation, and around the world. And we pray that with one heart and with one voice, keeping the main things, we will glorify your name through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen.